in Congress, I think it's on Constitution Day, there is a reading of the Constitution on the House floor from start to finish. Those members of Congress who choose to go and participate in it go and read a section. Basically, people taking turns until you go through the whole thing. The first year that I found out about this, I volunteered and I wanted to go down and be a part of it. And I don't remember who told me this, but someone told me, because there were not very many members of Congress participating at all. And I questioned someone about why that was. The answer that I got was, well, a lot of Democrats see this as just a right-wing conservative thing. To go to the House floor and read the Constitution, that, as you said, every one of us, as members of Congress, obviously those of us who wear the uniform, same thing, raise our right hand and swear to uphold. And that was very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
When you look at the results and you look at the fruits that that tree is bearing, you get it.
Welcome to the Danger Close Podcast,
presented by 6hour.
My guest today is Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi is a former congresswoman, veteran, 2020 presidential candidate. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Tulsi Gabbard. And now, without further ado, here's Tulsi.
I spoke at an event for the Young Americans for Liberty, and their organization was kind of inspired by Ron Paul's run for president. And it was really cool to go and stand in a huge ballroom with a couple thousand college students who aren't just there like, oh, cool, we'll just go have fun at a conference and then go back to life. Like, super passionate, fired up for freedom and the Constitution.
Wow.
And I left that conference really hopeful, because they are the next generation, and they were there, and they had, I think, 2 days of like speakers and workshops and really arming themselves with the tools to be able to go back to their college campuses and actually put in the work and talk to people and inform and engage and, you know, deal with both what's happening on campus, but also, you know, local, state and county laws and getting involved. It was a different kind of speech. I was talking about freedom, and I was talking about foreign policy, something you and I have talked about. And these kids were screaming out. It was very interactive.
Really?
They were screaming stuff out like throughout the speech.
Nice.
And just fired up, man. And that was so there's hope. My hope comes from the spirit of the American people. Yeah. And it's not just one small pocket of group of people here or there in certain parts of the country. There are people who are not buying into, you know, party power and the team thing. I believe that most people in this country really love our country and are really concerned about the direction that we're headed and want to do something about it, but might not know how. Our founders very deliberately choosing the we the people as those first three words, they were speaking to us, every one of us. And I think this is one of the biggest problems with our education, our public education system as a whole, is, you know, that foundational understanding of history, where we come from, how we got here, basic civics. There are kids who I've met who don't really know or remember what happened on 9/11. When September 11th comes around, it's like, oh, wait, what? What is today about when that anniversary comes around? And being in Hawaii, there are kids who come through and they're like, Pearl Harbor? Like, they don't know what Pearl Harbor means or the significance of the place. And so that's what's so maddening, when we know that somewhere around half of kids graduate from high school functionally illiterate. And you look at the kinds of things that the teachers union and the departments of education are placing an emphasis on in, you know, teaching highly inappropriate graphic sexual content to kids in elementary school and middle school, this whole gender ideology and all of this stuff that's really, you know, these are things that belong in the home, parents to impart to their kids, not for teachers and the education system and the government. If our freedoms are under attack, and they are, if we're concerned about parents' rights being taken away by the government, if we're concerned about safety and rising crime in our communities, all these different things that are very real concerns that don't just affect Democrats or Republicans, but that affect families and people everywhere, let's get back to the basics and recognize our connection, our bond as the American people together. And then we can treat each other with respect, recognize, like, I might have a different idea of how to reduce crime than you would. Fine, cool, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And I might have some good ideas, you might have some good ideas, we end up coming up with something that actually helps us move the ball forward. I did a town hall in the southern part of Washington State with Joe Kent, and it was so cute. There were two sisters who came up to ask a question. Phoebe and Claire were their names. Claire was the older sister, Phoebe's the younger sister. I think they were 10 and 12 years old. And Phoebe asked a question of Joe, Claire asked a question of me, and her question was, you know, I'm going to school every day and I'm really concerned about history and social studies class specifically, because talking about history, everything is like according to the book. But once you start talking about present day society, she said, this is where things start to just get really messy and uncomfortable and weird. Her question for me was, how do I find the courage to speak up in class? And she said that when she thinks about speaking up, or when she does, she's always answered back with like, well, yeah, but what about this? Or yeah, but what about that? And so we just had a great dialogue, and she's an introvert. I'm an introvert growing up, and there were a lot of similarities. But I just shared with her, I was like, Claire, do your research, do your homework, so that when they say, yeah, but, you have an answer and you can say, yeah, and here's why, or here's what's happening. And know that whatever fears and insecurities that you have about standing up and speaking out, knowing that, you know, you might have somebody else coming out for you, know that there are definitely other kids in your class who feel exactly the same way that you do, who are also scared to speak up, and that when you speak up, you give them courage and inspire them.
Yeah.
And I was inspired by her.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Just
that's great.
The
at
question.
Age, fifth grade or whatever.
Yeah,
fifth grade, sixth
grade. Exactly.
And
I know there were a ton of adults in that room of like 200 people listening, also feeling the same way at work or at family gatherings, being afraid to be that one voice to be like, hey guys, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
and that's what we need more of. Like the whole. That's the dangerous consequence of this whole culture of cancel culture and, you know, fomenting fear of anyone who dares to step out of line or say anything that's different from what the mainstream on TV is. But when you think about and you look at our history, like that's the beauty, even of our founding fathers, how vigorous they were in their disagreements with each other.
Yeah, that was serious.
It's serious. Yeah. but that makes us better and stronger in exercising our own freedom of speech.
People study the Constitution. Going back in the memory banks, let's say we actually read it and studied it, let's say in junior high or something. Mm-hmm. Like one time, or maybe in high school, whatever, one time. That's the basis for everything. And you're hitting it once with maybe a teacher who is not going to do it in a way that incorporates history and other founding documents
and
all of that. And I was talking to a guy who in Vietnam, went to boot camp during Vietnam, and they studied the Constitution in boot camp in the Army in the 60s. And guess what we didn't study? And guess what I bet they don't study today? Constitution.
We didn't when I went through basic training.
Yet you're swearing this oath to protect and defend and uphold and defend. And you're not even reading the document first.
Yeah.
That's very telling.
It is.
And I mean, it should obviously be studied throughout your time in school, but it's not even there. It's maybe a touch point here or there. You're told it's a living document and whatever else, but you can't really study it today because if the kids are to read that stuff and read the Bill of Rights and then look over and see this cancel culture and see the censorship stuff and be like, well, I'm not understanding here. Yeah. Why can't that person say what they want?
Right.
It says so right here.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
You know, what's crazy is in Congress, I think it's on Constitution Day, there is a reading of the Constitution on the House floor from start to finish. And those members of Congress who choose to go and participate in it, go and read a section, basically people taking turns until you go through the whole thing. The first year that I found out about this, I volunteered and I wanted to go down and be a part of it. And I don't remember who told me this, but someone told me, because there were not very many members of Congress participating at all. And I questioned someone about why that was. And the answer that I got was, well, a lot of Democrats see this as just a right-wing conservative thing. To go to the House floor and read the Constitution, that, as you said, every one of us, as members of Congress, obviously those of us who wear the uniform, same thing, raise our right hand and swear to uphold. And that was very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
But also, when you look at the results and you look at the fruits that that tree is bearing, well, you get it.
Yeah.
It's so place no value. If you place no value on it and you don't understand it and don't try to recognize why our founders put those amendments in there, why they chose that language, yeah, and how it is very much relevant to and important for us, yeah, today, then we end up with what we have.
It almost seems like that needs to be mandatory for people in Congress.
Yeah.
We try to read it every year here. Same thing, Constitution Day, which I think is September or something, I think. But I post about it every year.
Right.
Yep. I put up a little post about it with the Constitution in there and a few other things. That's what I gave my kids for my retirement ceremony from the military. They had a leather-bound Constitution with a Bill of Rights. So I gave them that. I gave them a Bible with their name on it. Gave them a compass, old nautical compass. And when I gave them the Bible and the compass, I said, here are things to guide you. And then I said, here are God-given natural rights in its Constitution. They cannot be taken away because they are natural rights. And then I gave them that tomahawk, the ones that are right up there.
Yeah.
And I said, here's the means to defend it.
There you go.
And, so I post
fully equipped.
That's it. So hopefully they'll remember later on. They'll pull those things out and, think about what they meant and why I chose those four things to give them at my retirement ceremony. But it seems like that Constitution should be something that we, that binds us together. It's our foundation as Americans, regardless of what you think. Growing up in the 80s, it was so wonderful because we knew that First Amendment was like the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to argue about all this other stuff, guess what we don't argue about really? Is the First Amendment. We stand up for each other as Americans. That's the one thing we could rally around.
Yeah.
And now even that has been weaponized.
When people ask me, well, what can I do? We talk with our wallet. We see how people immediately are like, all right, I'm canceling that insurance policy. I'm no longer shopping there. Mm-hmm. Making sure that our voices are heard in that way. The other commodity that, these big tech companies, media, and everybody else feeds off of is our attention and our time. And us as individuals being a lot more thoughtful and knowing that that is their valued commodity that they want from every one of us. And let's treat that with the importance that they are, because they're making a lot of money off of it. You and I don't need to go and get a permit to stand on a street corner and exercise our First Amendment rights.
Yep.
Our government also does not have the right to limit our Second Amendment rights in the same way it does not have the right to limit our First Amendment rights. And it was just it crystallized kind of a lot for me. And it changed my view and really brought home what shall not be infringed actually means.
Nice.